Amen. Our gospel reading this morning tells the parable of the workers paid equally. And frankly, I've always found it hard to understand and identified with the all-day workers who say, it's not fair. So what's going on here? And what is Jesus teaching? A landowner hires labourers to work in his vineyard, some from first thing in the morning who work all day, some who start a bit later, more later still, and a final fifth group who start shortly before the end of the day. And he pays them all the same wage, the wage he agreed to pay the all-day workers. It was one denarius, a Roman soldier's pay for a day, which was a very generous wage for labourers. The workers hired first would have been more than happy to agree to work for this generous wage. But when the landowner paid the Johnny-come-latelys the same wage and the all-day workers no more, those all-day workers moaned about the unfairness of it all. Where's the sense of fairness, of justice? Biblical scholars say that it's important to realise that Jesus doesn't intend the story to serve as a comment on the social justice of his day. Although, interestingly, others did. John Ruskin used this parable in his justification for a living wage in the 19th century. But that's an aside. It seems an occurrence like this one in Jesus' parable actually happening is highly unlikely. Instead, the parable is intended to illustrate something for us to learn about God. We could look at the previous chapter of Matthew to guess what Jesus might say to an actual rich landowner. To understand what Jesus is teaching about God, we need to look at the last group of workers who were hired very late in the day. Why weren't they employed earlier on? Had they not been in the marketplace? The landowner asks them why. And they reply that no one would hire them. No one gave them a job. Perhaps they weren't wanted. They were maybe the sort of people that everybody chose not to hire. But the landowner hired them anyway and paid them the same as the workers who'd been slaving away in the heat of the sun in the middle of the day. As in so many of Jesus' stories, the landowner represents God and the workers, Israel. But who do the different categories of workers represent? Some biblical scholars think Jesus probably intends the parable as a warning to the disciples themselves about their own attitudes. In the last verse of the chapter just before this one, Jesus says that those at the front would end up at the back, and vice versa. Importantly, this was in response to Peter's rather self-centered question, "We've left everything to follow you. What will be our reward?" It seems Jesus is warning the disciples, "Don't think that because you've been close to me so far, you are now the favored few for all time." And that is likely to be the main thrust of this parable about the workers paid equally. It's warning Jesus' disciples that they're not going to become rich and famous when Jesus brings in the kingdom of God he keeps talking about. That's not what God's kingdom is about. It's for everyone. Everyone, not just some favored few, not just the disciples, not even just the Jews. Everyone. God's grace is not the sort of thing you can bargain with or try and store up. It's not the sort of thing one person can have lots of and someone else only a little. The point of the story is that what people get from having served God and his kingdom isn't a wage at all. It's not a reward for work done. God doesn't make contracts with us as if we could bargain or negotiate for a better deal. God makes covenants in which he promises everything and asks of us everything in return. When God keeps his promises, he's not rewarding us for effort, but doing what comes naturally to his overflowing, generous nature. When we think about it, the truth isn't that the landowner didn't treat his workers right. He paid the all-day workers all that had been agreed, which was a generous wage. He kept his word. And then he was super generous to the later workers. And this challenges my attitude. Do I compare myself with others? Do I get resentful or envious of them? Do I grumble about them? Or do I serve God out of deep and humble gratitude for the privilege of working in his vineyard? I want to be motivated by a deep love for Jesus, to serve with delight and freedom. It may be tempting for people in church to think we're the special ones, God's inner circle. But in reality, God is out in the marketplace, looking for people everyone else ignores, welcoming them on the same terms, surprising them and everyone else with his super generous, lavish grace. And we are to be carriers, messengers of that grace to others, especially to those perhaps on the edges, those who are left out or ignored by most people, those whose lives are messed up in perhaps more visible and obvious ways than our own. We all need God's love and forgiveness, whoever we are, whatever we've done, and however screwed up our lives are. Receiving it does not depend on our worthiness, but on God's abundant grace. And what a joy that we can play a part in sharing that love and forgiveness with others in humble, loving gratitude. So let's pray for that attitude and for endurance to keep serving God through to the end of our days in action and in prayer. And let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your overflowing, lavish generosity toward humankind. Thank you for our experience of your love, forgiveness, and grace. May we offer our lives back to you in response and live in humble, loving gratitude all our days. In Jesus' name, amen.